or Thomas Damon Clues, Reel 13.
Well, I probably haven't made it quite clear, but the incident when they said they were taking my letter, I was quite prepared for that, and they took me in the theatre, and instead of taking my letter, they cut it short, and that's where it came, at least sort of every 4 or 5 days, filtered his discourse, bandages, stuffed it, in other words. And then used to pull the bandages out, and that used to bring litters, believe it or not, of pus. Actually, litters of pus. That went on for quite a long time. But this particular moment, I had to said my prayers like normally, and it must have been very low, and I was very ashamed of it afterwards. But I asked not to wake up. Lydia couldn't speak in Spanish, but somehow she must have had the guess. I don't know, even if I said it in German, I don't know. I may have done. Which was the general language, you see. oh, and she went absolutely leaving that business. And the following morning she told the nurses, and I had to listen to all their comments, and how disgusting, you know, I should be ashamed of myself. No way. But, in any case, still open my eyes. And then, round about in the morning, it was in the evenings, mid morning, Claire van den Boom, who was being so good to me, gave to me. And she said, I heard all about his nonsense with you last night. And I said, no, don't. I said, yeah. I said, it isn't worth it sometimes, and I'm beginning to look. She says, well, she says, I'm going to tell you something now. It was one promise. That I want none of your nonsense, I want no crying. Promise me you won't cry. Well, it was something, I said, no, I won't cry. I never thought, you see, because quite a few months had elapsed. This was, by then, the end of September, or the first week in October. She says, we've had the last train load come in from Holland, she says, your mother is here. Well, I could have died, you see. I do remember saying, what are you doing? Are they supposed to have landed all this time? Because we didn't know any news. Now, of course, the news was coming in then from those that it came from Holland, and that'd be about the same. That must have been the last train, because the train after that is what after the war we found out was the last train that was called the Ghost Train, and they liberated that. The resistance liberated that on the frontier, and they let everybody loose. And that was actually the last train. So mum's train, yes. Ah, now the story went, on the continent, you, even when you were married, you keep your maiden name all through your life. If I sign, for instance, you go by your maiden name, and then after that it says, married or husband and your husband's name. You are Madame Clouse in my case, but as far as it goes for signing documents, you sign your name and your maiden name and then your married name. So, of course, my mother, first of all, would be Madame Damon, but in Germany they didn't call you Madame. You went by your number, and first of all, when the names came through, it was family name day, you see, which day was not your name. And then somebody must have got Claire overheard, somebody saying it was Damon from Belgium, from Lorraine. And of course, she put two and two together, and she went to her mother, and because she was very upset, happy in a way that they were alive, but terrible to know that she was coming to that place. But as far as the normal life in the camp, I hadn't encountered that yet, because I spent too many months in there. And of course, I did cry, but in any case, it was great, you know, after the initial shock. I thought, well, it'd be nice to see, and I wanted to know if my mother knew something about my father and the other family. And my mother had had two letters in gift through the Red Cross. You see, I wasn't allowed to have any. I was condemned to death. I never received letters. I never received parcels. Father received parcel in Buchenwald twice, I believe, and my mother had parcels, and she had one in Germany. She received one in Germany, but I never qualified. I was, in other words, I was dead, you see. I was very excited, of course, that day in the afternoon. I probably was thinking and wanting another. And I had a lot of, started using a lot of app, like we call very bad pockmarks from the infection that I was working on. It was all one side, it was all this side, this side of that day. So Lydia, I'd got hold of the priest of Prague, and she used to put it on my head, I was losing my hair, and this really looked bad. And then she used to come and turn me, and she put this like a little scarf, you see. And I don't know, but they, actually the Germans, the those that were commanding the camp, I heard one of them say, I don't look in her eyes, she frightens me to death. And I remember that, and I thought, what is there in my eye? But I believe my face was like one of these porcelain things, and my eyes must have been out of proportion. And of course, I had very blonde hair and very, very blue eyes, because one changes. and the Germans always had a very big attraction to that, you see, because that was supposed to be their super race, wasn't it?
So Lydia was really preparing you for your mother's visit, is that right?
No, she was preparing me for the commandant's visit, which was his day that he came round with all the doctors.
Was that because she was worried?
They were beginning to worry. And then they used to turn me so that he couldn't see this, that he saw this good side. And because very often when he used to come past, he used to say, he's still here with us. Notentia. And it's sort of rubbed on her hair. Well, if you would have seen that particular, yeah, I think that was the day I lost most of my hair. And probably it was the same now. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, had your mother been to see you at this time?
No. And that particular morning, I said, oh, air commandant, I said, I want to ask you something. And I think it's some always used to, I don't know. I think my chief used to flabbergast him, you see. And I said, I said, air commandant, he said, what's the matter with you? I said, I've had some bad news. I said, I've heard a little bird told me, says, little birds don't come to the window or touch you. I said, well, this little bird did. I said, and my mother was around. I said, I haven't seen her for all that moment. So, could she possibly see me? He says, well, she can't come in because it's contagious. He says, but I do give the permission she can come and see you, which was a yard. And the nurses used to come in this yard and grass first now and then to relax a little bit, you know, from all their horrible things. And I, later on, when I was sitting up, because that day they brought me up, you see, pulled me up, and then I could see outside. The window couldn't be opened. He said yes. So, of course, as soon as he'd gone, like, news went round. I wanted to talk to Claire and I wanted to talk to Lena. I said, my mum is allowed to come. Are you sure? I said yes. The commandant said she can come. And they all said, oh yes, we heard him say he can come. It was extraordinary, really. The next thing, my mother came, of course. That was extremely well explained, because every time I read that, it makes me cry, even now. Yes. Because Mark must have had a very human experience that he could describe that so well. Mm-hmm.
Could you possibly describe it? As much as you can, Hortense.
Well, we couldn't hear one another's voice. I could still not move very well. I don't know, you put your hands, if you could, on the window. I forgot who did it first. It was a real condensation, really. It was a sort of a strength that you felt from, I felt it very much so, that he was still there. And unfortunately, I asked if she knew something about father, and she said no.
How did she look?
Very thin, but she was becoming thinner then. And my mother still had not a grey hair at all, and she was dark haired. She'd come old looking because she wasn't very old, mum wasn't. And she always been a very, very strong woman. Stronger in strength, literally, than a lot of men. She could pick up crates with one hand and move it, you know, just. of course, there was deterioration. God knows how she must have seen the difference in me. They didn't tell her everything, but they did, I believe, say that they were going to amputate my neck. I forgot now where that came about, but And she said, no, there mustn't, because she's strong enough, she, you know, she will get better, because she didn't know. Although she'd come from this, but apparently this was 7 compared to this Ravens group. And then, of course, the following time she came, she had the 2 enormous black eyes. Stewie just slit. Oh, and I said, I said, what was that? And she says, a couple on the front, she said. But in any case, come in, although she had a big meeting. Oh, gosh. And the commandant came. And I said, yeah, sure. And I said, now you're still the commandant in this camp. But then, of course, I was sitting up, they used to pull me up. And I got a bit more strength sitting, sit above instead of laying down. He says, yeah, well, what? I said, I said, well, you gave permission for my mother to come and see me once a week. I said, she came the second time. I said, I couldn't see the colour of her eyes. I said, oh, the 2 black masses were. I said, that couple, when she came in, her mother told her she had permission from the commandant. And she beat her up. Oh, gee, whoa, we went to work. Don't watch that. He was a very tall man. Ugly looking, but smart. A brutal face. And he marched out. Oh, good steps. The barrack was trembling. And all these archers pulled him out. And apparently he went right out there. And I explained who she was. I didn't know her name, but she was a fat, ugly, tiny little fat woman, with dark hair, and it was cut like a crew cut, like men, you know, above her hair, straight. There was only one like that. And he found her, because he knew who she was. And apparently he kicked her behind quite a few times. When that's come up, I said, kicked her behind. And so he did say, if I give orders, I want those orders to be carried out, because the nurses don't have to be about that. And then the day came, not very long after that. Now, we're going on for end of October. Oh. By then, I hadn't left now this isolation block or experiment block. This is where they did all the experiments, where you could hear, now and then I could hear the children, newborn babies cry. And I used to say many times, did I hear right? Or am I imagining it? I'm sure I heard a newborn baby cry. And they used to say, well, there are babies in cry. I never saw it. But of course, it's now witnessed one of the nurses who I know, and they've got to confess to it, and I had heard that when babies were born, they were gassed and run away. It was in the bottom of the camp later on, it was called the Jewish children, especially the Gypsy children. Those that survived, they were in the bottom of the camp. Very few survived. They had died from starvation, especially newborn ones. But the general routine was that Marshall used to see them through the labor. have the bird and drown him in a bucket of water. That was, that became very well known. But you see, although you can connect many, many, many years later with little incidents that you, that I remember, we've been so long in there. I know there were days, which are hours, that I can't remember anything. But now, there came a point when one of the nurses came to me and confronted me. By then, I'd been there just over three months. And like you say, but she more or less shook me. But thinking back of all that, it looks as if they have to do that with me sometimes to wake me up from a long sleep. I don't know. And she said, it's time you put yourself together and get out of here. Before the time comes, you go up to the chimney. Well, we knew what by then we had heard of it. But I don't forget, I've never experienced it yet. Because I hadn't seen what the camp was really like inside. I said, but I can't walk. She says, you haven't tried. She knew very bad that she was being very, very painful and very hurt. And all my pride was hurt. And I said, well, why do you come? And then it is, you know. A little bit afterwards, she came back again. And I said, I'm sorry with that, you know. She said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, if you can. She says, what else? She says, there's so much going on for the moment. And that was when they were really, really putting pressure on him, really sending thousands, not one or two, thousands to the gas chambers, picking out transport, not returning. Nobody knew where they come, nobody knew when they come back. Train loads arriving from Czechoslovakia and gypsy children, from everywhere, even from other camps. And this was around about October, beginning of October. And she says, no matter how it is, she says, you must try and walk. She said, but you can't do it here because you couldn't walk right down the corridor, you see. So she says, I'll try and get you to what was still an isolation hospital, block 9. Well, block 9, 10, 11, and 12 were isolation. But those four blocks were on the opposite side, right on the far end of the Lauerstrasse, what they call the Pellplatz. And they were barred off to a certain extent, and on the back of it. In other words, if you went in there, anybody going in there, they still had to come through one of the couples before you could enter. On the front it was made of this wood, and on the back it was barbed wire. And some electrified wire. And they took me there, and he carried me there on a stretcher, actually. And I was there. Well, I was, didn't seem any better. On the contrary, it looked a bit worse because I was sleeping in a barrack. And they were all people that were dying, and they got all sorts of diseases that you couldn't. And Mary Linda, I may as well, she's dead now, I wonder if she's listening. And from the moment go, I couldn't get on with Mary. Our characters completely clashed. And she was the highest decorated woman from the First World War. But she was too langt gaan en toe op buses and I did a bit really classical completely. And she, of course, I mean, she was a nurse. And she would, I didn't know who she was after I came there, of course. And she was sort of nursing in just block 9. And I was trying to walk. Oh, took me ages because of pain of just moving my legs. And, some of those poor women, they all treated me as the elder ones, you know, that were dying and were so well. Gave me encouragement, come on. Another step, And I tried my best, but I turned up, it was terrible. It was like somebody digging knives in my leg. My other leg, incidentally, had become, all the muscles of my right leg were paralyzed. And it was only the tendons, even now, they are still all paralyzed. It's only the tendons that makes me walk. But that was through the weakness from, I suppose, supporting whatever went wrong with my brother. And I heard Mary Lindell's voice, which was like a foghorn over the sea. And she said, you know where she will land up if she doesn't pull herself together? Up the chimney. And I heard it. Oh, I could have killed her. I told her afterwards. I said, you be mad, we'll get you into trouble once. I said, but she says, at least I pulled you off your feet, didn't I? I thought I show her. I show her. And I walked. Oh, I thought I was going to die. And when I arrived, Claire was just, the nurse was just coming in. And she had heard about this, you see. And she was coming in particular to tell Mary off. And she pulled my I don't know what I was wearing then, because by then they had pinched my clothes as well. Oh, I think she took something from the hospital. Up and showed him a leg, and it took her back. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. In any case, that was it. But then I believe Mum was coming on the other side, on the back end. And I said, right, I'll walk out. Just try. But I didn't know. And I thought, I'm going to die. Before I could reach, I could see my mother standing not very far near to the barbed wire, you see. And I wanted to make that up to there. I don't know why I made it, but I made it. And then I stupidly sat down because I couldn't go any further. Oh, and then I couldn't get up. And my mum was telling me to get up, but I couldn't, no matter how I turned, and I couldn't get up off my legs. Eventually I made that, and I made it back in one piece, and I thought, well, I'm going to die now, that's it now. My heart swore out from doing all this trip. In any case, the next thing, I got very well indeed with Trita, which was a monster. But I used to give it, well, I never knew if it was a man or a woman. And
who was he? Was he one of the gods?
Yes, one that was. Elmi was originally, he was supposed to be a prisoner, a German. Whatever called, I don't know. But he became quite you know, he became quite one of the doctors who he was, I forgot now, I think the treaty was owned, I think. And it was because whenever she was supposed to be a she when I knew her, but she looked like a man. Oh, I forgot now what it was. I have to look it up in the book before my brain is get organized again. And always wore a skirt. I thought she was a she. I have no doubt about it. But he was a he. He wore Scots thick Scots stockings to on the sleeve. Oh, horrible man. And she kept saying, you know, shouting at me and calling me silent. Oh, I said, don't say that. I said, I've been called that so many times. I said, what does it really mean? In German, this conversation, because that is, I've been called that. I said, I suppose it's called that. I said, but what does it mean? I said, because of translation.